like to introduce the first speaker. I've never met this gentleman, but his name is Reggie H. from the Ties That Bind NA Group, well, Narcotics Anonymous out of Edgewood, Maryland.
My name is Reggie. I'm an addict.
Hey, Reggie.
First and foremost, I want to thank God, man, for another day clean, the program, for showing me how to stay clean, and whatever the name of this area is, for asking me to come here and share. I don't want to try to repeat because I ain't going to remember all the name things. So listen, this is an honor, man, to be up here in the woods and back up here in the woods and the mountains and the trees and the bears, oh my type area. I'm like ecstatic about being here. I saw some lovely stuff coming here. And it's just different, man. It just goes to show me that addicts are so versatile that they come up with some great ideas, man. So listen, I think I'm supposed to be talking about this simple. The key to the program of Narcotics Anonymous is real simple. It says that simplicity is the key. For an addict to come into the program of Narcotics Anonymous, when I first got here, I didn't know nothing about God for real. I didn't know nothing about myself for real. I didn't know nothing about society. I didn't know nothing about nothing other than crack, period, the end, and how it got me all messed up. So when I came here, I needed things real simple. I didn't need no whole lot of complex theory, and like the speaker that just was saying, I didn't need nobody to be telling me all this other hip stuff about the chemical imbalances. All I needed to know is how to stop smoking crack. That's all I wanted to do. I didn't want to be a part of nothing. I had already been in the church. I had already been prayed over and all that stuff. And every time I did that stuff, I went and caught crack. I remember going to church and getting money, man. They put the pot out, and I got the money out the pot, man. And instead of putting it in, I took money out and took it in pot right at the church. I remember all that kind of stuff. So when I got here, I needed things to be real plain and real simple for me. And the simple was like the first thing my sponsor had me read. And it ain't even but a page long. He had me read this thing for 30 days. I'm like, what is that? What the hell does he want me to find out of this thing? It ain't nothing out there but God, self, service, society, and that's it. The broader the base, the higher the point of freedom, and all that. What's so fantastic about a symbol? Why you got me doing a study of a symbol? He wanted me to understand that what I was getting ready to partake in my life was something that could save my life. He wanted me to understand that once I became a part of the symbol and I started to identify into the symbol, that once I got a God in my life, that I could find myself. Once I found myself, I could become a part of a society. Right? That was a society within a society, which as a crack smoker, I was always a member of a society in society, because I could never function in real society. So I was able to become a part of a society. I was able to become, like, doing some good, listen, it says goodwill. I start to become able to do some goodwill, man, in my society. I start to be able to do some goodwill in my life. I start to be able to become a mirror of hope. People start to see that, like, damn, something's happening with this guy. This is the same guy who was running around here with hoodies on, sticking people up. Now he don't do none of that stuff. He goes to meetings. He carries his little blue book around. What, he got, like, key tags down his side? You know what I mean? He's talking different. He's walking different. He's looking different. I want to know what he's doing. I became a reflection of Narcotics Anonymous. What the symbol started to do was make me become a mimic. See, I don't know about none of y'all. I was one of the people who, when I first came to Narcotics Anonymous, I had Narcotics Anonymous hat, shirt, book, tags, car, sweater, everything. I ain't know nothing about what it meant. I just walked around. I was happy, doing some free, not to be cracked out. I was just running around with the book under my arm. I hadn't read none of it. Just walking around with the blue book under my arm. I was thinking, man. I was a member of NARC. I was happy, joyous, and free to be here, man. I love friends. Look, I love NARC. What is it? I don't know. You a member when you say you're a member. I just suck. I belong. Yeah, I was happy, joyous, and free. I couldn't tell you nothing about the symbol, but I just was loving the program. I had my Just Put a Day key tag, my 38 key tag. My 98 key tag, I was getting on buses, showing a few of my key tags. I'm a member when I say I'm a member. I belong. You know how good it felt just to belong? I love this program. So I started to study the literature, and I found out that the symbol was like the whole thing. It's worldwide. I started seeing the symbol. Listen, man, let me tell you how spiritual this program is. I would see the symbol before I got to Narcotics Anonymous and was a member. But I had no clue what it meant. Then once I got here, I started to see the symbol. And everywhere I went, I started to see the symbol. I was able to identify something that I had never been able to identify before. That like somebody else knew this same universal God that it talks about in the symbol that I knew. I said the same hope that I got, somebody else got. I said the same problem I had, somebody else. Listen, man, do you know how long it was to feel like I could just not use anymore? I didn't believe it could happen. I came from a generation of active addicts. My mother, my brothers, my sister, everybody used. I didn't understand life without drugs. And to see somebody there with the symbol let me know that, damn, they was like me. They had the same problem I had. They had the same dysfunction that I had. They had the same lack of hope that I had. They had the whole thing. Listen, man, I was able to buy into the symbol, man. And it told me that I needed to have an understanding of God of my own. I was like, wow. Because I thought that I was going straight to hell according to the God that I knew. So I didn't want to know God at all. And when y'all told me that the only requirements that this God had to be was loving and caring, I was happy to know that. So they told me at that point, they said, Reggie, once you find a God of your understanding, you can find yourself. I said, you mean I can establish an identity of my own? I don't have to be little Rudy, or I don't have to be little this, or I can just be Reggie. Once you find yourself, Reggie, you can do that. Then you become a part of this society that it talks about in here. You become a part of the solution now. You ain't a part of the problem no more. You now become a part of the solution. You become a part of the society that's working on trying to negate the objective that addiction gives us is to use. You can start to negate that and become something better than you've always been. Now you're a part of a society that's working towards the active use of new things, not drugs. Spiritual principles it talks about in there. The active usage of the steps. The active usage of the tradition. The active usage of, let's talk about some of the spiritual principles. Honesty. I was reading Tim Step in the Step Guide today, and it talks about integrity and how integrity is so important that it caused us to act out in different ways other than old ways. It gives us character. Don't even, listen, I can't even do the same thing I used to do no more. It don't even feel right. It takes away ability to continue to try to make wrong right. That's what the 10th step is all about. Promptly admit that I'm wrong. Listen, you better stop doing what you're doing so you don't have to do that. And I'm saying that today, I was saying like, wow, this is decent. I said, because that falls right into the symbol piece. I said, because once we learn how to do that, we become an attraction. We begin to be what people see as hope. That's what they talk. We don't offer you nothing but a promise of freedom from active addiction and hope. That's what we offer here. We don't offer you medication. We don't offer you a house, a car. Not, we just offer you, like, if you don't never want to feel like you used to feel anymore, come with us. That's what this symbol tells us. It says, if you don't ever want to do what you used to do, come holler at us. If you don't ever want to do what you used to do, crawling on the floor, looking out of windows, looking at stuff that ain't there, if you don't ever want to do that no more, come holler at us. Then it gives you some principles that you can work by in the symbol. Right? Simplicity is the key. I had to keep the program simple. Because I'm one of them guys that got a little education, so I figured that I could bring a little new twist to the program. And my brother used to tell me, he said, Reggie, we don't need you. Narcotics Anonymous was doing fine when you was in jail. We was doing fine before you got, when you were still smoking crack. Narcotics Anonymous was doing fine. We don't need you. What we need you to do is come here and need us. Because once you need us, you lose you. And then once you lose you, you find you. I was like, wow. All these years, I tell people, Fred, you don't understand. You didn't understand either, Reggie. That's why you were doing what you were doing. People that talk about the insanity of the city. People in their right mind don't do what we do. It's insane when somebody asks for a heart attack. That's what the literature says. Would you please give me a heart attack to go? The literature says that it's insane for us to do it. So we find ourselves. And in the symbol, what the symbol does is help us identify in. But attitude is, why is it the first thing in the book? Because they don't want you to get on step work right away. They want you to find out, wait a minute, you need to belong to something. Why? Because as an addict, I was lost for so long. I used over 25 years. I was lost for so long. Just to belong to something gave me hope. It gave me a sense of identity just to be able to say I was a member of Narcotics Anonymous. That's why I ran with it. Man, I had t-shirts. I was wearing the hoodies. I was wearing the hats. I had NA everything. I got an NA tag for my car. I just was just happy about Narcotics Anonymous. And my sponsor, that's why he told me, he said, you need to read the symbol. Because he asked me, he said, what did it mean? I couldn't tell him. That's why I make my sponsors read the book. You need to study the symbol. Why? Because we become a reflection as well as the only NA some folks will ever see. So I needed to know what the symbol meant, what it stood for. I needed to know that, like, it ain't just on the thing that we get the medallions when we stay clean for a year. It ain't just on that. Service, goodwill, universal, God, self, society. All that, it ain't just for that. What happens is that symbol becomes how I need to work my program. I need to find God. Then I find myself. Then I become a part of society. Now I can start doing the last part. I can start doing service. Service is bigger than me. Service allows me to help somebody else. Service allows me not to be so self-centered. Service allows me to give when I don't want to give. Service allows me to drive 3 hours up in the back of the woods and still be able to share to 2 people in the room. Why? Because it ain't about me. It's bigger than me. This thing is universal. So, Reggie, I need you to show up when you don't want to show up. Why? Because there's somebody that needs to see that in spite of what you think, in spite of what you think you're supposed to be, in spite of how big the event is, it ain't about the event. It's about the service that you got to do for me. Because had God changed his mind, I wouldn't be here. I didn't have a way out of active addiction. Active addiction was all I knew. I lived and died. I was the guy that talks about it who's that. I lived and breathed this thing. Lived to use and used to live. It was very simple for me. My life didn't mean nothing to me. Every day was an active act of murder. Every day. I wasn't one of them trying to act that could do a little bit. I wasn't him, John. I wasn't the kind of guy that could act like I was all right when I wasn't. I wasn't him. I wasn't one of them guys that would say, oh, well, I need to go lay down. Track's gone. No, I was not that kind of guy. Huh? I was the kind of guy that when I laid down, my mind would tell me, get up. Go get one more. No matter what you got to do, go do it. And I would get up and go do it. I used to hate people who could trick. I ain't had the courage to stay on the corner looking old dad on here. I was... Just you go there and I stick you up. I ain't going out there. That's how that kind of attitude I was, man. I'm telling you. So when I got here and the symbol started to identify in that, Reggie, no matter what, if you just keep it simple, simplicity is the key. What does the key unlock? The key unlocks freedom. The key unlocks low self-esteem. The key unlocks me ever having to do things that was against all the principles that I understood. The key unlocks that new me. It allows me to do some things that I've always wanted to do. I'm going to tell you something. I was one of them guys from Philadelphia, born and raised, back in the hood, never let me see you sweat type guy. When I got here, you know what freedom it was after 15 years to be able to cry? It took me 15 years to cry. And when I finally was able to cry, I couldn't stop crying because of all the pain that I had caused myself. All the dereliction, all the degradation, everything that I took myself through willingly. My brother told me, he said, Reggie, if you would allow somebody else to do to you what you did to you, you'd be in jail for murder. And when he said it, I thought about it. I said, he's right. Sleeping under the steps, eating out of the trash can. Going back and forth to jail year after year after year. That's not normal behavior. Willingly. I ain't talking about nobody didn't make me do nothing. Nobody made me smoke no crack. Nobody made me sniff no dope. Nobody made me do none of that. I willingly participated in my own demise. Symbol for me, man, has been a great relief. Just to know that once you get involved with the universal program that this program is talking about, the broader your base means, it don't just mean going all over the place getting phone numbers. It means that you do some things and cementing your stay here. Each time I go out and I reach out to somebody else and somebody reach back, my foundation gets bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger until my walls from active addiction become bigger and bigger and bigger. And then using becomes less and less of an option. Because now I got lot of people don't tell these newcomers what they need to hear no more. We need something between us and drugs. What this symbol helped me understand was that as long as I keep building a better foundation, my walls against actively using get bigger. They get stronger, they get greater, and I empower myself. Listen, we only power us when we first get here. I'm taking a risk now. I'm talking about the literature. In the 11th step, we get a power. And once you get that power, you get the power to carry out some stuff that has been implemented in you to do. We don't just get this. Many people come to Narcotics Anonymous and don't stay. Maybe we'll never make it to Narcotics Anonymous. So it's a job that we're given when we get here. You talked about it. We have the ability to reach people that other people can't reach. Now, you can't just reach an active addict without having some power, because the active addict can have me use it. So God has to give me some power in order to be able to touch the spirit, so that when I touch their spirit, they can feel something that they can't feel from somebody who ain't never used before. They can feel the identification of somebody who's been where they've been at. And that's what they talk about in the society piece, in the service piece, in the symbol. Because now I can touch a society that can help them come to this society by servicing the God of my understanding. He allows me to service him through showing the example to somebody that's still using. And once I show them that service, they may not come in right away. But something happens. And when that happens, they'll never forget. That's what this did for me. When I see my brother and my sister, they came to see me in jail. They talked about this program. I knew something had happened to them. I didn't know what had happened to them. And when I seen them and they left, and they told me they wasn't going to leave me no money on them books, I knew something happened to them. And they told me they wasn't coming back. I knew something happened to them. They said, but we're going to send you something. They sent me one of them blue NA books. They said, we want you to read it, Reggie, while you're down. So I read it, cover to cover. Called them back, told them I read the book. Y'all need to send me some commissary money now. I said, we ain't sending you nothing. I said, well, y'all come to get me out. I said, we ain't coming to get you out. I said, you still got a problem. We ain't helping you get out of jail and knowing that you're going to go back to do what you always did. About a month later, I called them back. I said, listen, man, you're right. I got a problem with drugs. I got a problem with crack. I done read the book now. I said, but you know, the only thing that I don't have a problem with, it's alcohol. They said, Reggie, we'll talk to you later. They said, you need to read this symbol. And when I read this symbol, and I read what it talks about, what it connotates, right? How it's a circle inside of a diamond inside of a circle, and the circle is never ending, right? And I look through the spiritual part of it. The circle is never ending. It's going to just keep going round and round and round and round, and it just keeps whatever's inside safe. I said, wow, I need to be involved with something that can keep me safe. And they said, Reggie, once you get that idea, we might come back and get you. When they came and got me out of jail, I knew I didn't want to use no more. I didn't understand the program. I didn't understand none of that stuff. I just knew that I wanted to be a part of that symbol they was talking about. I just knew at that point that after reading that literature and looking at that symbol and the way that I was finally able to look at the symbol, knowing that once I became in touch with the God of my understanding. Some people say self. God, people read all different kind of ways. That's your choice. I know it only say four things on that symbol, on the outer part. That's God, self, service, and society. I know that. On the inside, it say goodwill. I know that. I know that much. Right? And I know that's a universal program. Right? I know that. Right? And I know that once I incorporated that symbol in my life and tried to just incorporate the simplicity of it. Just do the right thing because it's the right thing to do, Reggie. Don't worry about this other stuff. Just do the right thing because it's the right thing to do. Don't worry about the accolades. Don't worry about none of that stuff. Just keep doing the next right thing. That's all I need you to do. And impact in lives happen. People start to know you just for who you are. See, listen, when you come up here, you get naked. You put it out there if you want to. People that listen to some of these tapes and CDs and reminding me of stuff, thank God I'm living right. Because some stuff I say, I don't remember. I don't practice this stuff. I just come up here and do the best that I can. That's what I do. And when I do the best that I can, I don't try to remember. I just try to share what's honest with me. Give people a part of me and let that be what it is. And when you do that, man, it's a freedom that comes from this. That I ain't got to worry about going nowhere. Yeah, you know, Rick, know his name ain't in no controversy. Because I ain't doing that, I ain't got no business. And I ain't getting your business because that's your business. I ain't talking about what you do, what you don't do, and if you call me with it, I'm telling you in a minute. I don't do that. That ain't how I do things. Why? Because as soon as I say something, it's going to be registered in CDU. That's how I keep it simple. I keep my program real simple. And it's been 18 years for me. I just keep it simple. Keep it simple. Keep it simple. Don't get involved in stuff that ain't got nothing to do with me. Don't get involved with people that's doing the wrong thing. Don't get involved with women that ain't got the right thing on their mind. I don't do none of that stuff. Why? Because I done did it already. I done did everything illegal even doing Narcotics Anonymous. Sell tapes out my trunk, sell pocketbooks out my car, make t-shirts, don't donate no money to the area with Narcotics Anonymous on it, personalized, in eight shirts. Yeah, I did it all, right? I did it all. Yeah, I done had women that wasn't my wife, all kind of, come on, I done did all of that stuff for you. With a wife, living with a woman, come on, I did it all. So I ain't got no big, you want to talk about something? Let me give you some of my story. I don't want to talk about yours. Here goes some trash for you. Take this. Put it on the hotline. N.A. hotline. We got N.A. hotline that's recovery. We got an N.A. hotline that ain't. They texting stuff now. When I first came, there wasn't no texting. Now they cell phone. I said in the meeting about tricking. Somebody put on a cell phone and took it home. My wife had it before I got home. Yeah, you got something you want to tell me? No. What are you talking about? You sure? You need to get honest. What was she talking about? Somebody done called home before I got home. I left the meeting feeling relieved. Get home. Jammed up, because they done told her I was tricking. I ain't get a chance to tell her I was tricking. Thank God I don't trick no more. You know what I mean? But it's just knowing, man, that I'm a part of a society that it got both spins in here. And in closing, I'm going to say this. People in Narcotics Anonymous, we got some folks in here that's about the program. That do this thing. Stay diligent. Stay recovery oriented. Do what they have to do to carry a clear, concise message. But we got some folks in Narcotics Anonymous that ain't about Narcotics Anonymous. They just in the fellowship. See, it's a difference. It's a program, and it's a fellowship. We can be involved in the program and the fellowship, but we can just be involved in one or the other. I have to ask myself, which one am I in? And I check me. I ain't worried about what you do. I check me. Reggie, what you in today? You in the program, or you in the fellowship? Because when I'm in the fellowship, I act crazy. My hat go backwards and all that stuff. Because anything goes in the fellowship. We don't practice principles in the fellowship. We practice principles in the program in Narcotics Anonymous. That's the 12 principles that come out of the steps. That's the 12 principles that come out of the tradition. That's where the symbol comes into play, because it talks about the 24 principles. That's where that comes in at. It don't say nothing about the fellowship. It say this is a program that gives itself against abstinence from all drugs. You know what I mean? So listen, in closing, I want to say this. Listen, I'm glad to have been here. You know what I mean? Hopefully y'all got some extra blankets or something. You know what I mean? So I can sleep for hours or so before we get back on the road. But if not, we're going to get on down here for the mosquitoes to eat us up. And listen, I'm glad to have been here. Thanks for letting me share.
Share his experience, strength, and hope with us. From the day I met him, whether he knows it or not, from the day I met him, he has an impact in my life, how I live today. And I can always tell when he's going to say something that's going to mean something to me, because his lips are moving. You know what I mean? He's serious, man. He's a real, real big part of how I live my life today. And it's an honor and a pleasure to introduce John MC.
Hey, fam, my name's John.
Hey, John.
Hey, John.
Thanks for sharing, Reggie. And I thank this area, Lower Mountain Highland Retreat, Unity Retreat. Man, Rabbi, I realize it or not, this is where my recovery started from, this area. You know, and I left Altoona with like maybe 6 years clean. And I actually got introduced to Narcotics Anonymous because I was in the penitentiary running wild, not willing to change. And, you know, H&I came in, and I just wanted to get off the block. And no disrespect to anyone, but at that time, my information was like that. And this Caucasian sharing, and he talking about me. Because I wound up going to the penitentiary because my heart was broken, and I had this obsessive love with my wife. I could do whatever I wanted to, but she couldn't. And I tried to kill this dude that she was seeing while she was telling me we was going to get back together. And that is what actually introduced me to this process. And I'm telling you, right, initially, When I was doing the act of killing this guy, because I'm going to talk about this pamphlet. You ever had a euphoria and an anger and, you know, like the fear and all that tied right in? And when I'm poking this boy, it's like, oh, you're going to die. And get away from the scene, and then they finally arrest me, and then the euphoria wall. I'm serious. I was like, what to do now? They was talking about 15 to 30. I was 27 years old. 15 to 30? And I got afraid. I've learned so much from being around here. I'm in touch with the literature. I came back up here calling them my weapons. Now they're my roadmaps. Everything that has occurred to me, for me, and about me, these roadmaps have carried me through. And God is embedded in them. I'm not going to religion. But I'm telling you, I've built a relationship with a God of my understanding through these spiritual principles. And the triumph of self-obsession, man, I just like didn't know where to go, where to start from. And like before that incarceration thing, it was already happening in my life. You know, and one thing I'll share with you that showed up for me was one night, my mom loved hanging in the bars. And I was that child. My friend says no such thing as a parentified child, but there is. I was the middle kid, but intelligent enough to look out for my older sister and my little brother. And we short, and I was the tallest, and I'm short now. And I was taller than my mom, but my mom loved hanging in bars. And she didn't feed us. And they were crying, all the bread was wrong, was no more ketchup, was no mayonnaise, no syrup, no sugar for sugar water. So when she told us don't come out, we come out, we get beatings. And beatings from back in the day was no joke. But I took the risk because I was the middle kid. Told my brothers, just lock the door, I'm going to knock and, you know, open it when I come back. And I went up to the bar. You know, and I saw my mom doing her thing in the bar and went up to her. She's like, what's wrong? Because she's intoxicated, so I ain't going to get the trouble. And I'm like, Mom, we hungry. She's like, oh, what, boy? And started talking to her. I said, Mom, we hungry. Can you let me go get some chicken wings or something? Back then, Chinese joint give you some nice chicken wings for $5. And she said, I don't have no money. Boy, you need to leave me alone. Get your ass on home. And went in her bra, spent the stool. They had a bar stool. Spent it and went to call the bartender and pulled out a $5 bill and ordered another can of beer. And you're talking about resenting. I didn't know about this. I'm just telling you how I identify when you get in this process. You learn about your past life. And it was happening then. Because it crushed me, it hurted me so much that I went to the immediate defense, which was anger. Because I too came up, you don't show that you sweat. And I didn't want to tell her she was a bitch and a no good whore and all that. How could you not give me that $5? We ain't eat all damn day and my sister and brother's crying. And I left out the bar, and I was leaving and bumping at people. They were bumping into me because they was drunk, and the light went off. Fend for yourself. Because a lot of times people take this triangle self-obsession, at least since I've been in this process, it's always based on who's fucking who. You know, I got you, I got a wife, so we in a triangle. That ain't what I found out through being guided through these 12 steps, 12 traditions, and 12 concepts. And that story I'm telling you, that's not what the triangle was for me. Because I was embarking. And when I snapped that lady pocketbook, don't know who she is to this day, and was scared to death, it was based off of, I'm going to fend for myself. Because the triangle told me, it created a behavior that I no longer allow my basic needs, like the way I raise my children, they get provided for by me and my wife to the point where they become able to make their own decisions, get off to college or their choice to finish school. Well, that shit didn't happen for me. You know, snatching that pocketbook, putting myself at risk of being incarcerated or hurting that woman or whatever took place to only go to the Chinese joint, get more than chicken wings, see the smile on my sister and my brother's face. I thought I did the right thing. But I knew it was wrong, but it was the necessary thing because I wanted to get us fed. I was not going back home without any food. And that point on, I was blindsided. I didn't know that I was still developing symptoms to the disease of addiction. You know, I didn't know that sneaking my boy's mom McNorton's was adding on to that piece, that triangle that I'm sharing on. Resentment. I resented being black. You know, I mean, in my neighborhood and when I traveled up here, because I'm going to bring you up to date, and I don't usually talk about the past. I usually talk about what's happening right now in my recovery. But anyway, getting pulled over just for being black, stereotyped. You know, sometimes you see that stuff in the room, people get offended. But I've been taught you talk about you, your experience, strength, and hope. It's not an entertainment, but this shit saves my life, and it continues to save my life. It doesn't make me a perfect person, but it puts me back as being a natural human being. Those spiritual awakenings that I received from practicing and living the steps, not just because I wrote them. When my wife say, stop cussing at her because I'm upset and I'm arguing with her, and I hear it and I don't want to because the information say you're a chump, you're a bitch if you stop cussing. But then the daughter say, she's right. That's the spiritual principle, surrender kicking in. That's honestly saying, yeah, you want to change and stop cussing at her. And I'll start talking, but I won't cuss. And that's the stuff that I'm learning about, the freedom that I get away from the triangle. And I continue to be up here, and I'm telling you, like, man, I don't have to imprisonate myself anymore. I'm not afraid to stand on my own understanding of the triangle self-obsession to get freedom. This roadmap, page 53, talks about us being self-obsessed. And if you ever read it in the basic text, you'll go to 103, and it'll tell you that we can become selfless. And, excuse me, we can become less self-obsessed. So that gave me hope. It said I don't have to run around always being self-obsessed. I don't have to buy into the average person that's in another level playing field sharing a behavior that he identifies seeing me in, talking about, oh, you're self-centered. Oh, wait a minute. I'm going to buy that. So now I'm going to put right back on top of the same fucking layer of destruction that God knew that was healthy enough in my life for this program removed. But that's how easily I can hurt somebody around here. Because not having the right information. Misinformed information didn't just come from before we got here. That shit exists here now. So, because it ain't the same case. I know that I'm not as self-obsessed as I have been. I've opened my doors. I've opened my life. I've told enough, brother. I sit on my damn hands when people are sharing shit that I don't believe they're supposed to be sharing. I don't run around here beating you in the head, and the stuff I heard tonight, some of it was cool, some of it wasn't. I'm talking about just being up here. That's dead right. I know when I open my mouth, I'm coming with only my experience, strength, and hope, and I'm going to give the evidence because you're going to see me living. See, I have a 10th tradition too. And it says the evidence of a 10th tradition is having a healthy relationship. My friend tease me all the time. People always want to talk to you. You always keep a line when you're finished at the meeting and all that. And it was so hard breaking the resentment because I easily say, I got some acceptance. There was no acceptance. Verbally there was. But I started seeing the evidence because of the first step that made me aware. So now I got to embrace it. I don't create unmanageability unnecessarily. I create unmanageability when I make a decision in hopes that I'm doing the right thing and the results I don't leave in the guy hands. I try to control. That's when I create unmanageability, putting me right back into a resented state or an anger state or a fear state. And I'm only sharing for who I am and what I've learned. You know what I mean? I got resentments because I don't have a degree. I don't own a fucking house. I don't have a business. I don't have a bunch of money. I don't wear the fancy fucking clothes. And I wanted all that stuff. I was on my way. I was stable. And I watched the process that occurred in the last 2 years of my life that blew my mind. But the weapons and this literature and this welcome mat saved my ass. It told me some shit like this. It said, check out, I love the literature. Stop working God. Me, God, me too. Ain't in denial about that. It told me, it says here, not every act of growth is motivated by pain. It may just be time to cycle through the steps again, thus beginning the next stage of our never-ending journey of recovery. Why am I reading that? Well, fuck, I'm in college, I've been trying to finish a degree, I'm sitting at the computer, and all of a sudden, my fucking heart started acting crazy. I'm sweating, I got my baby boy, I think he was, what, 6, 5 in the house with me, wife ain't nobody around, and I'm telling myself, oh, I'm going to control this. I could not control myself from putting down the fucking coke when I said I wasn't smoking crack, rolled up in the joint, and I was smoking crack. So now I'm going to control my heart, and I haven't gotten high at that time, 13 years. And I went into a heart attack. Fell out. And I was like, how the hell that happened? And when I came to, I'm in the ambulance, and people talk about they don't have fear. I have fear. And I was fearful. I was afraid. And I couldn't even muster up that old anger to protect me and psych my mind out so that way I could stand strong. And I wasn't even thinking about no damn resentment. I ain't going to stand and tell you, oh, I put up a resentment. No. Fear itself for leaving this fucking earth without my permission, and I wasn't ready. And they doing what they do of fixing me up to make sure they can get me to the hospital, and they're talking on the phone, and I'm coherent, and I'm here, and we saying, this gentleman's in a cardiac, we some numbers, and his heart rate 172, and they shoot me up, and nothing's stopping. This motherfucker like it's ready to bust out my chest. And I get in the hospital, and they find a way to do what they do and allow me to be in another meeting another day. Then they want to prescribe me medication. And I didn't want to take medication. If you take medication or you have a symptom or a health issue about meds, don't let motherfuckers tell you not to take your medication. Take that shit prescribed. I'm telling you, my understanding of self-obsession is deeper than that basic shit about, like I said, fucking and everything is just self-centered. I want to live. So that process took place. My wife is my encouragement, my help. I have sponsors. You know, I called you big brother. You know what I'm saying? So therefore, I had some help. You know that. You stayed in my ass about it. Only to turn around and my house burned down. Burned down. I get finagled out of the house because we're supposed to be doing what they call an article agreement. Why can't I have resentments about that shit? Because my 10th step said, I have a natural human trait called anger. It is alright for me to be angry, it's just not alright if I let anger make me put my hand on you. I didn't know that stuff without the work of the 12 steps, because that's the solution to the triangle. Oh yeah, it is. So I was angry. But I found some humility, I went through some surrender, I got some acceptance that the broad treated me bad, because that's the antidote. You want to get away from, it says resentments is reliving something in the past. Well, in the past, we went from house to house with grandma, basement, me and my wife and our 4 kids with shopping carts, pulling them down the street, walking through the Italian block. I got to send them one way, and I go this way because I got 15 fucking people chasing me because I'm black. That's what my life is like. So now I done grew through this process. I love helping people. I'm gung-ho about this. The heart done went and did what it did. Now I can't finish college. The house done burnt down. Don't have a bunch of money. The job let me go. My asshole so angry with him. I said, all right, freak it. I'll quit. Reacting. Fix you by hurting me. Put us in a shelter. Get a little card that they say to start off to get you some things. And I had a little cell phone, and it was our only means of communication, and I want to practice honesty, so I bring all the receipts to the place that hooked us up. And they tell me, you ain't supposed to pay those bills. You ain't supposed to pay no cell phone with this. And I said, but that's the only thing I did, and I didn't even do it. No more money for you. I don't have a dime. So the fellowship came in. But the resentment towards that organization pissed me off because I was changing my life. I was no longer running around selling dope to pregnant people. I had practice and continued to practice to stop picking up guns.
So I'm talking about, when do I get a break?
You hear self-pity, the anger, frustration.
Oh, I did not buy in that when you introduced me that I had a disease of addiction, that I couldn't fucking be mad. Everything was supposed to be gravy because I stopped getting high. People can't treat me wrong, and I ain't into that karma shit. What I did in that condition comes right back for us. Fuck that. That ain't what the God I created or built the relationship under my understanding said it's supposed to, you know, help do to me. He wasn't going to beat me up for what I did. That's that dogma shit. I have a great heart. So why is all this shit happening? I never stopped with the steps. Never stopped with trying to help people. Even in my situation. Paying on this van. No, we ain't got no money. My wife living in one city, I'm living in another, and get finagled out of it. And you tell me I can't go to war. I'm known for hurt my feelings. I need to hurt you. I heard somebody say about that, the NA literature or this program does interfere. It will show up. I am very intellectual, and I am not in denial or afraid to admit it because I found out I had to start changing this fucking thinking. So dictionaries, reading books, paying attention to what this says, started replacing that ill fucking thinking. So when the dude did what he did about the van, and my thinking was doing what it did, and my wife standing there looking at me, and I'm like, damn, she gonna think I'm less of a man if I just say, huh, don't worry about it, let him have a car, you know, this and that. And the disease, this is how I identify my disease, is saying shit like, you know, you got to join upstairs, go strap up, take that van, let them know they ain't happening. If he go like he want to be gangster, you blast that motherfucker. Because remember, you was there when they child died. None of them niggas was going to roll out, but you was on the front line. That's disease addiction. And I ain't fall into that. See, I can't stand in meetings any form, rather as intimate as this or not, because I like this. This is intimate. And share bullshit. I can only share what I've been through. I can only share the hope that I continue to get better. If something reaches someone, 12-step tells me, it ain't my permission, my job. It's my job just to lay the information out. That's it. You know what I mean? I let that thing go. You know, and I continue moving on, and staying homeless for almost 2.5 or 2 years is not comfortable when you got 14, 15 years clean and people know you. They know you're a great speaker. They know you love helping people. But what was happening was this shit was being transformed. The self-obsession I was telling you was decreasing. The spiritual awakening you heard me talking about was arriving. And I left out the fact that I went through the gambling piece with a great idea. Countless times with nice checks. Cut the phone off, tell everybody I'm all right or I'm sick or I don't report until I can come back with a big zero. Trying to find an instant gratification to replace the things that was taken. Could have got high, just didn't cross my mind. But a lot of other destructive things did. That's why I know that I have a disease of addiction. And I'm not afraid to exchange that I don't always be locked into this triangle. Why would I want to constantly keep giving power to something that does nothing but keep me in a destructive path or destructive state? Everything that I have been encountering, even to the point of being relocated back into Altoona, has helped me realize that all the external and material things have been removed. And it's just my belief. For one sole purpose, to build the spirit and have substance that I can live life with or without. We talked about it here, and I'm gonna give it to you. It says here, spirituality. Not me. It's the book. Spirituality enables us to live life to its fullest. Feeling grateful for who we are and for what we have done in life. Since the beginning of our recovery, we have found that joy doesn't come from material things, but from within
ourselves. We find that when we lose self-obsession, we are able to understand what it means to be happy, joyous, and free. Indescribable joys come from sharing from the heart. We no longer need to lie to gain acceptance.
I got it going on, but I got to keep holding and believing it. Because some moments out of the day, I'm real low. My wife be like, you are? I'm like, hell no, I'm frustrated. The gratitude for the job that went out the window. These motherfuckers using me. They won't give me a raise, you know what I mean? How dare them give a counsel position to somebody else when I'm more qualified? And here go that not having a degree haunting me again. The society at Narcotics Anonymous is preparing me for has gotten worse. I come in the arenas up there in those meetings, and I feel like I can't keep my life on alive. Because I got motherfuckers saying that it's okay to say whatever you want, or I'm an alcoholic and an addict, and they got a substantial amount of clean time. And I'm like, damn, man, I don't want to burn no more energy this way. Then I got a non-member of Narcotics Anonymous calling me, talking about, my child is being transported to a hospital. I couldn't think of nobody else but you, and I need your help. And it's a woman, and the relationship with my wife is so much healthier. We doing what we do. So the message is not just for addicts in the room. My message that I believe in carrying is birthed from the fifth edition. It's for any human being that wants to be helped, because that's what the 12 steps says, to carry the message and learn how to live life. And I'm taking some courage because I haven't shared this on group level at all. Not this deep. Some of the incidents, because that's real easy. But I'm talking about the internal stuff. So from birth, It convinced the average reader without the proper guidance that you cannot get out of it. And it tells you the solution to get out, but half of us don't. Half of us run around here too busy talking about, oh, there's two parts to the first step. First part say ask for help, and the second one say the same. No, motherfucker, it's talking about building a foundation so that disease don't have a chance to keep breaking your fucking legs. Breaking your heart. Making your mind think that you can keep getting high. Well, you can keep playing with the gun. I called my friend, and I told him, I said, man, you're going to be proud of something I did. You know, and I was like looking at myself, another spurt of a spiritual awakening, and I took two pistols out of my house. I just don't want them there no more. I'm not getting locked into the resentment that I had with my father for all the years he didn't raise me and didn't know that my mom and them didn't want him around me and they ain't named me after him because my mother didn't like him. So he went on with his life and had a family and found Narcotics Anonymous, and I was able to be there when he died. From the beginning of his sickness to the point of him going and away from here physically. And I don't usually wear this, but it's something said wear it. It's my father, who I learned to love because I let go of the fucking resentment. And I wasn't giving my children the same shit. I don't have to keep reliving that shit. I'm not going to keep convincing myself I got to stay in that pain. And if the similar situations show up, don't mean I have to go through the same things. When I'm down there and I see y'all and y'all where y'all at, and y'all got what y'all got, I don't hate on that shit. I'll be practicing, you better be okay with what you got. You better hold on to self-acceptance because without it, you ain't got shit. Countless people be telling me how much I do and what I do. And I ain't trying to say I'm grandiose. I'm talking about embracing the humanness that the seventh step has put back in my life. Not taking it for granted about the humility and the food and water. I'm fucking talking about living that shit. And making sure I see it and be like, damn, I am doing it. And it is okay. You can't pat yourself on the back. It's fucking program work. I ain't even coming in the room no more talking about, if you don't like what I'm saying, it's your fault. No, it ain't. You don't like what I'm saying, you don't like what I'm saying because you don't agree with me. Okay, cool. It ain't your fault for who I am. I put the fucking work in off of being God. I like what I've become. I don't like all the trials and uncomfortableness, but then who expected me to go through the process of moving all that material shit the literature said to be able to stand irregardless. You talking about a motherfucker walking the streets of Philadelphia buying quarter presses for a meal. You talking about not knowing how to say no, but yeah, man, what's up? You talking about a joker getting so happy with receiving information and get caught up with breaking down because this guy's ghetto, this one's professional, this one's just so fucking high-tech in his language and you can communicate with them all, but then when it comes to separating, you twist it. So your language come out any fucking way. Can you still accept yourself? I do. Just practice. Practice. The day I stop practicing is the day that I'm probably going to allow this disease to tell me to do some of that dumb shit like maybe with my son that's out there and be doing. Hey, Pop, I need you. I ain't 24. But I ain't setting no standards of him respecting me anymore because now I'm negotiating my fucking recovery. All right, I'll be there and put on black. I'm 40 fucking 3 years old. What the fuck I look for being out there trying to gangbang or bust on somebody? What the hell's going to happen to my family? Now, I guess I could say he was a part of the triangle. He ain't had shit to do with it. I made the decision. I could have said no. This program is offering me opportunities to live. And it didn't say I was going to have the ranch or the business. It said freedom from active addiction. And I have received a lot of that. And I continue to receive it. And it's ongoing. And I'm not going to make everybody fucking happy. And not everybody's going to like me. It is my job to like me. My sixth step told me about fear. And I just went through this with another sponsee. Fear is a human trait. Sixth step wants me to know that before embarking on that level, it was always one that was of destruction or paralyzing. A scenario I use, if I stand in the middle of the street and traffic is coming, they're going to beat their horn. If I move, one fool won't actually hit me. But that fear of seeing traffic coming in a healthy state, my ass is going to run and not feel like a chump because I moved out of the way of the car. Like you said, who the fuck going to order a heart attack to go? You heard me saying I was kicking and holding, man, fearful of not wanting to die. So it's not a created or defect trait. Fear itself, my belief. It's human. Same way our six concepts is taught me. It says something about the innate compass that creates a conscience or helps me make a decision on a conscience basis. That means that shit was there. So if I've been taking layers off for all this little bit of time of being around here, why would I deny my compass of saying, if you see girly looking, or I was telling my boy when we was in the car and he was describing the situation about this girl, I said, you're going to get me killed. And she said, oh, you can look. Yeah, all right. Let me look too hard. I'm creating harm. I'm creating a reservation. I don't know about y'all, but I'm a freak. I love sex. And my disease will try to get into this intellect, that new information, and say, you know what? Wifey sex is good. If she ain't giving it today, or this one is available, go get it. That's why I have to stay in reality of practicing this. Because I'm still subject to it. 10th step. It works how and why. It says, character defects and character assets will not and do not exclude themselves. Why? They exist. They both can exist in the same space. Because my sponsor in the fellowship taught me something. He said, John, your first step is giving you a choice. If you want to go fuck that girl, you pick up the defect. Take your ass home, use your assets. It's just as simple. Fourth step introduced me to imagine and creating guilt and shame. All that shit to me, just me. I can give you the verbatim of this shit, but I'm talking about living it. I'll create some unnecessary guilt. Like having those children that we have in our house. 3 kids, the things we just went through. And now we take 3 kids that don't belong to us. I'm the only source of income.
because I don't want to see them in children and youth. Their parents, one is incarcerated. The other one shows no acknowledgement nor care for them. And a couple of times I wanted to go fuck him up. But then I had to look back at the reality of it all. Who made the choice? Me and my wife. Why did we do it? Because our heart was connected to a spirit that's alive, and it's about nurturing life, and it said, do so. They ain't hungry. I don't give a fuck how many shut-off notices done came in, and we got three now. We ain't come up here sporging and all that because we ain't have it. Didn't even register. But does that mean not come to what saves our lives? Narcotics Anonymous functions in the events? No. You get some replenishment, I do, when I'm in these settings so I can go back and deal with that shit. You know, watch these kids. I like kicking ass. Who the fuck hears me tell a kid that didn't do what I say, go take a time out? You know that. I'm trying to give y'all some hope that this shit does change and get better if you buy into what is being introduced to you about yourself versus the disease of addiction and breaking this cycle. The triangle can be broken. And getting into closing, this is another piece of mine that ties me into the triangle. Page 77. It says, we must relearn many things that we have forgotten and develop a new approach to life if we are to survive. This is what Narcotics Anonymous is all about. It is about people who care about desperate, dying addicts and who can, in time, teach them how to live without drugs. Many of us had difficulties coming into the fellowship because we did not understand we have the disease of addiction. We sometimes see our past behaviors as part of ourselves and not part of the disease. I ain't writing both of them. I try to practice it. I am one who really, really tries to do what it says. Adapt my life to this, not bring this to my life. Everything don't come out as sweet as I like it, but it comes out much better than it would have if I'd have participated in my ill thinking belonging to the disease of addiction. So the triangle ain't got too much power as long as I use the 12 steps. As long as I live in those principles in them, they're going to give me the freedom I need. So I try and I suggest, the same way I tell my sponsees, be careful with what you're listening to. Don't be afraid to sort it out. Because I know the third tradition says about judge, but it didn't say that you can't think for yourself. You can't think through and say, hey, Spon, what do you think? Or what was your experience with that? Because some people ain't living this shit. And it might not be for me. Because I tried some shit. I tried the college, and I tried the college, and I tried the 11th step, and I kept saying, oh yeah, this is God's will for me, you know, I need that degree, and all the fucking jobs I had, it was the degree required, and didn't have one, but the degree required, and they hired me without one, but soon my ass started running around trying to get a degree, I can't get a decent-ass job. Because I thought everybody was achieving diplomas or bachelors. If you got that stuff, that's wonderful. That is the level of your life. And I ain't hate. I'm talking about what I have identified for me. My road and my journey and my task, if God chooses to use me as the instrument, as the 12 steps says, may not be for that shit. Maybe to stay in the gutters and the mediocre spots for motherfuckers that's trying to get better like I do. Motherfuckers that's roaming around buying quarter pretzels or hungry and snatching pocketbooks even though time and change. And it's taking some work to have a degree of self-acceptance to this. So, in closing, the triangle ain't got shit on. 12 step says a spiritual awakening. 12 traditions says a spiritual foundation, and the 12th concept says spiritual and nature. Disease can't be. And I'm going to stay to the best of my ability with all 36 of them. Thanks for letting me share.
I want to thank both the speakers for sharing their experience, strength, and hope with us. They're both really good. Lisa, can you read just for today from the podium up here, please?
Just for today, my thoughts will be on my recovery, living, enjoying life, problems.
Just for today.
Just for today, I will have faith in someone in that NA who believes in me and wants to help me in my recovery.
Just for today.
Just for today, I'll have a program. I'll try to follow it to my best of my ability.
Just for today.
And just for today, through NA, I'll try to get a better perspective on my life.
Just for today.
And just for today, I will be unafraid. My thoughts will be on me. People are not easy. But I found a new way in life, so I'm glad that I have nothing to fear.
Just for today. Thanks, Lisa. We have a nice grand closing. We form a circle. Please place the weaver of the thread.